Bless your heart. Man, it has been an interesting week. I don't know about you, but there's definitely been some things that have come up that have kind of caught me by surprise, to which I have to say, practice what I preach. Bless your heart. You know, they need to get there before I do for some reason, so that's why they're doing this on 95. It is what it is. Hey, you guys will be happy. I do have a cell phone, so I will keep it up here, not in case it rings or I get a text message or Twitter, all right, or something like that. And no, it's up here so I can keep track of time, okay? All right? I don't want you all, like, throwing stuff at me. It's time to quit, Pastor. I'll just look at you all and say, bless your hearts. Amen. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, please open them with me, please, to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. We parked ourselves on the hillside there with Jesus last week. We're going to go back there again this week as we're looking at one of those sermons to which He is famously known for giving so many truths of which we still learn from today. And so we're going to be over there again today. All right, in Matthew chapter number 4 as we continue on in our study of blessed. As we looked at the series last week regarding the Beatitudes, we looked at it regarding a relationship that we have with Christ. That's definitely important for us to understand. So we discussed those things regarding the ones who are broken or poor in spirit. And today it is fitting as well for us to continue with the second of these Beatitudes. So many people are broken inside, searching for and seeking after those things which will bring peace to their life. There is a blessing to those who mourn, but we must also understand to what cause will the blessing be applied for those that mourn. So today as we look at blessed, we're going to title it Blessed, They That Mourn. As we pick up here again in our study in Matthew chapter number 5, I'll start back from the beginning of this chapter. Don't worry, it's only a couple verses, okay? So we kind of get the context of where we are. It says, And seeing the multitudes, Jesus, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then verse number 4, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Dear God, I thank You, Lord, for this beautiful Lord's Day. And God, I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, this occasion for which You have granted me the opportunity to preach Your Word. Lord, I pray that the words that are spoken today, Lord, they will not be mine, but Lord, they will be the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to the hearts of those that have a need. Lord, for those that are seeking for help. And God, maybe even for the soul in here today who might not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will move freely within the midst. God, I thank You for everything that You do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, when we look at that word mourn, there's some people will say, well, does that mean that I need to be living a life of depression, and then, you know, then that means that God will comfort me? Well, yes, you might ask that. Well, yesterday when I was picking up my kids from camp, I had three of them that were at camp, and I was sitting over in the sanctuary waiting for, you know, all the kids to unload from the bus. And as these kids are unloading from the bus, there's kids that are running in, you know, and oh, there's mom and dad. They're jumping into each other's arms, you know, hugging and laughing and carrying on with each other, just so happy to see each other. Zach walks in and he sees me and he walks up to me. All right, little man, I understand you're tired. Have a seat. You'll be fine. And then I had another one walk in and say, don't ever send me back. I don't ever want to go back. And I'm just looking at all these other parents, you know, and I'm like, it's okay. They're mine, all right? We got something to work on here, obviously. Well, then the last one comes in as bubbly and as happy as he always can be, you know, and he just jumps up there and he's happy and gives you a good old hug. And I was like, all right, phew. I've got one that had a good time. We're good. Hey, you know what? It's life. We have times where we are in rejoicing, you know, where everything seems to be so good. You know, that seems like it doesn't matter if it's broken. I'm still having a good day. You know, it's a great time. Man, you know, your kids are being behaved, or your spouse is not picking on you at church, you know, or something like that. It's a good day. Amen. It's a great day. Well, there's times where we rejoice just like that, but then there are seasons in which we do go through a time of mourning. You know, it seems like, you know, might be a loved one that passed away. It might be your fur baby, passed away as well. And you cared for that little fur baby for so long. Yeah, those days do come too. Then again, it might be a loss of a job. It might be, a displaced type of relationship that is occurring. It may be, missing just the grandkids or even your own kids or something that comes up in life and it causes you to mourn. Okay, now you're all weeping. There are tissues in your pew if you need them. But anyway, we're here today not to discuss primarily that season of a fleshly mourning, but we want to look today at what Christ is discussing about blessed are they that mourn from a spiritual aspect. So in order to understand this, first we must understand that there is a decision one makes to mourn. It's a conscientious decision that one will make to say, okay, it's a time for me to go into mourning. So, I guess we'll go there. So many times people will appear, well, to have some kind of weird blessing going on in their life to which, they'll say, yay, praise the Lord. But then sometimes it's times, there's a moment where someone will have a perfect sequence of events which makes them say, it's time for me to mourn. Something is going on. It's time for me to be poor in spirit, just as we looked at last week. Well, you've got those who are physically poor. Yes, they tend to lead a life of mourning. But then we also find that there are those who are gracious in their mourning. And when they mourn, they will do so gracefully. We think of an individual in the Bible that mourned. We think of Job. Job went through a season of blessing, and he also went through a season of mourning. We think of others as well who had a time of mourning and blessing. We see King David. David likewise had a time of blessing, and he also has a time of mourning. And you can read all about those in his heart and throughout the Psalms. We have others as well in the Bible that had a time of rejoicing, but likewise they had that conscientious decision to make, and now is the time for me to mourn. A penitent mourning for our own sins, this is, yes, godly sorrow, for which a decision must be made. Zechariah 12, verse 10 says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. The prophet is telling the children of Israel, there's coming a time when you will mourn because of the Savior that came to this earth and you pierced him on a cross. The decision one makes to mourn, it is not one that needs to be taken lightly, because it does come from somewhere special. It comes within the depths of one's soul, or as the Bible, the King James says, bowels of mercies, within the depths of one's deepest recesses of themselves, comes forth this well of mourning. We find that Jesus wept as well when he looked upon Jerusalem. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem to fulfill what the Father had for him to do. And we find Jesus looking upon Jerusalem, he wept. Paul cried as well that the souls of his own people, the Jewish people, might know Christ, even at the expense of his very own soul. You see, people have a reason for mourning, but there must be a decision made to, now's the time for me to mourn. Well, as we see the mourning here Jesus is talking about, he says that there's a blessing for those that mourn. The Bible says that they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. I don't know where you are in life at this very moment. I don't know all of your trials. I don't know all of your blessings. I don't know what's going on really. And to all of you, I've got an idea, with my own family, but I don't really necessarily know all of those things for which you might be experiencing a season of mourning today. However, the decision was made that yes, this is a season of mourning. Well, now we need to see the desire of the one who mourns. There's a desire of the one who mourns. What is their desire? I mean, when you're going through a time of mourning, what do you desire? You desire comfort. You desire peace. You desire a glimpse of hope. Ah, yes. There is a sorrow that is an enemy to blessedness, and it is the sorrows of this world. This grief-stricken person is sorrowful not of spirit, but this is the one who is sorrowful based upon those things which are carnal. Might be one of us in here today that may say, well, I'm mourning, you know, I'm mourning that I lost this, or I'm mourning that I lost that. Well, they mourn for more opportunities. What do you mean they mourn for more opportunities? They are crying out, they are upset because they really want to succeed. They want to have more, and because they want to have more, they're going to go into a time of mourning. There are people out there that are like that. Maybe they've chosen to mourn because they're looking for more opportunities to abound, to have more over someone else. That's a kind of sick person's mourning, isn't it? That's a sick, sadistic look at someone who is mourning. But yet there are people in this world that are just like that. They mourn because they want the attention. They don't want to put it on the one who deserves all focus. They heap to themselves sins of a season. This desire of the carnal one is one who is mourning, that a bitter type of mourning. It's a bitter type of soul. It's a debtor of a situation. That's where they're going to go, to a debtor's grave. They're going to be separated for eternity from the love of God, and there they will be able to mourn for eternity because they did not mourn for the right reason. Before you knew Christ, maybe you mourned just like that. Mourned for more things. Mourned for more position. Mourned for more opportunity. You didn't mourn because you were a sin-lost soul that needed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You mourned because of those things which were carnal. You mourned for those things which drove you, well, in a type of a fleshly frenzy. The Bible says that sin, when it is finished, it leads to what? Death. Well, to those who don't know death, my friend, death and hell will one day become one. And the Bible says that they will be cast forever into the lake of fire. We ought to be careful to our desire of mourning. We ought to be careful that what we are mourning for isn't the wrong thing. I think of David's son. He had a lot of sons. But we know of one son who mourned for the desire of a relationship with his half-sister. It's a sick, sadistic type of mourning, but you read about it in the Bible. And he mourned and sighed because he lusted after his half-sister, and eventually he had a friend. And his friend gave him the recipe on how to appease that mourning. And it's a sick story as you read it. But you find that after he gets his way with his half-sister Tamar, Tamar's begging for this not to happen, begging for the right thing to be done. And he goes about it and commits his sin of fornication with his half-sister. And let me tell you, that upset another brother. And Absalom said, I don't think so. We're not going there. As you read the story, you'll find out that one brother ends up killing another brother. Another one ends up, that brother ends up fleeing into hiding for a long time, to which Joab has to go to David and have some kind of story painted. So David reaches out to Absalom and brings him back. And I mean, it's quite the story. But you find of where someone's sick, twisted desire of mourning led to their demise. But there also is another type of mourning. There is a sorrow that is graciously conceived. It is not the mourning of bitterness, wrath, or sin. However, it is a mourning of a broken spirit. Not the contrite heart. No, but one who is broken of spirit. People say that when it comes to horseback riding, that when you've first receive that horse, when you first get that horse is wild. Any of you ever had the opportunity to see a wild horse get broken? It's kind of interesting. That horse is such a free-spirited beast. It runs all over the place. It does whatever it wants. Someone tries to put a blanket over its back, you know, and they're working with that horse as much as they can. They really cannot break the horse until they can finally get on its back and ride it. But they'll do different things along the way to get that horse to a broken spirit. The blanket is one of those things. They'll take a blanket and toss it over and just leave it there. They'll take that saddle and they'll strap that saddle onto that horse and they'll just leave it there. Sometimes you'll find that the person who's trying to break the horse will even go so far as to sleep in the very same stall as that horse at night. As they're continuing to work on that horse, eventually they break its spirit. And they can ride that horse around the ring. They can do jumps. They can do whatever they need to do with that horse. They can even get us out of church on time. All right. Just checking. Many times God will work on you piece by piece along the way. You were a free sort of a spirit, had a free will to do whatever your heart desired. And so you would run wild with the passions of this world. You might have had a grandparent, you might have had a mother or father or an aunt, uncle, someone or a friend who was praying for you regarding the matter of salvation. You needed to be broken. And God was using them to get you to that place. This broken of spirit, this sorrowful soul is one and the same of spirit. They see that their sin, if left in place, will leave them as one who is at enmity with the Father, one who is an enemy of God. They see through brokenness Jesus upon that cruel, rugged cross, pierced asunder, placed in a grave for nothing that he had done wrong. They desire an eternal relationship with Jesus. This is the one who realizes Jesus is the one who died for them. Jesus is the one who took upon himself sin to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There comes a time in one's life where they understand, where they see that they can finally get it. They're broken in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, there came a time where you were just like that, lost. And you realized that you needed Jesus Christ. And you, with a broken spirit, called upon Him. And you were gloriously saved. I've had people come to me before and say, "Pastor, can you please pray with me? What is it that you need me to pray with you for?" "I don't know Jesus, but I need to know Him today. I know enough to know that I need to call on Him to be saved." And you get down on your hands and knees with them, and they'll talk to them. I'll say, "You do realize where you are right now. You do realize where you will be after this prayer is uttered. Do you realize what sin is? Do you realize that it's Jesus? I'm not going to give you the words to say, but I believe that God will give you those words you need to say that you can pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior today." And so I won't say a prayer and say, "Repeat after me," but I will say a prayer. I'm praying for that soul that is broken, that spirit that is broken, that is crying out to Jesus for salvation. We have desires. And so many of us have desires to which we forfeit, an opportunity of eternal life. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, oh my friend, your passions, your desires ought not to be for this world. They ought to be for Christ. They ought to be fixed in a way to where you can see those who are mourning because they need peace within. They don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If only we would have more compassion for those who are lost. If only God would give us that desire as well, to mourn for those who need to know Christ. I dare say a missionary would not be very successful on the mission field if he did not have compassion for the lost. I would dare say as well, a pastor would not be very successful in his ministry if he did not have compassion for the lost, but also compassion for those sheep that know Jesus, and just looking for someone to help lead them along the way. I dare say that even you, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you would not be so successful in this life if you do not have a desire for those who are lost. Oh, that God would give all of us a heart of compassion for the lost. We find the decision, we see there's a desire, but last of all today, we find this, the distinction of the one who mourns. There's clearly distinctions for those who mourn. When you're happy, you can tell when you're happy, can't you? Other people can tell when you're happy too, right? Man, it's so easy to get in a frenzy, you know, or anger or something, or to get in a you know, mourning kind of spirit when someone else might be angry or when someone else is sorrowful. It's easy for us to jump on that same bandwagon. It's almost like it takes work to be happy, doesn't it? Oh, that God would give us all grateful, happy hearts, right? But there are seasons in which we do mourn. And this last thing I'd like for us to look at today is the distinctions. The ability for us to understand, to see those who mourn. And hopefully God will give us compassion for those who are mourning along the way. As we look at these distinctions, the ones who are God's mourners, those who are God's children that are in a time period of mourning, we will find this about them, that they live a life of repentance. God, I have done this thing that, Lord, I know for which I am guilty. Lord, I am wrong. God, I know I should not have done that. Lord, your Spirit is speaking to me and telling me that I need to repent of this. Ah, that's a distinction of one who knows Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you are living your life and you have no conviction at all about those sins that you're doing in this life, and yet you may be telling everybody here, you may be telling everybody over there that you're a Christian. If there is not an ounce of guilt or a pricking from the Holy Spirit, if there's nothing there, there's something amiss within your life. There's a distinction that seems to be missing. Well, we also find the ones who are God's mourners, those who will mourn, we find that they lament the corruption of their sin nature. Man, if only I didn't act like that back then, I could be so much more for God today. I've run across people that they come to know Christ later on in their later years of life. And I knew that I needed Jesus so many years ago, but I told him no. If I would have told him yes way back then, man, I could have done so much more. They've got that heart of mourning. To which I will encourage them and say, you can't change the past, but you can create some new steps for the future. And do what you can for Christ while you still have time to do something for Him. We also find that there are those who are God's mourners. Well, we find a limitless transactions of compassion. It seems like they want to be the one who will help people along the way. It seems like they're the one that wants to care for someone else in need. They may not have the physical means to care. They might not have the ability to do those things that they used to be able to do physically, but you can tell that inside their heart. Oh, they're broken. They're mourning. Why? Because they care. They care for those who are likewise going through a time, a season. of which they could use some help. We also find that this person, the one who is a God's child, that is, you know, a veteran to mourning in regards to spiritual things, we find this about them, that they are ones who are abounding in the love of God. They understand so much more the love of Jesus for those in this world. But we also find not only those who are God's mourners, but what about those who, those who will not be comforted according to this text. The Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, what about those who are mourning for the wrong reason? This is the one who will continue to heap upon themselves the fires of hell. They will continue to desire more. They are those who will desire preeminence. Those are the ones who desire position, pomp, power. Those are the ones who want the limelight to be right on them. That spotlight has to be on them. Their fate will be that of woe. It will be followed by the wrath of the Father. For if they die without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will experience the wrath of God. And yet, some of them may appear to be religious. They may appear to be right. They may even appear to be faithful. However, their religion is vain. Their righteousness is unrighteousness. And their faith is faithless. I say this because there's a parallel scripture that goes along with these Beatitudes. Further on down in the book of Matthew, we find as well the woes of the religious. Jesus likewise casts out those woes, and they go in perfect harmony with these Beatitudes you have before you. Next time we gather together, we're going to look at that as well as we study, blessed are the meek. It's important for us to understand, God wants the best for you. It might not be the Rolls Royce, okay? It may not be a perfect bill of health. Though I believe that most of us in here would desire that. And keep the Rolls Royce. Just let me be able to run, jump, and leap, and do like I used to, Lord. No. Even in the place where you are right now, we ought to therewith be content. We find that there are those who mourn. Where are you today? Some of you may have come in here today with a spirit of rejoicing. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't He? He is absolutely good. All the time, God is good. I mean, God is good. And you might be in a season right now of where you are, well, mourning. You've got something going on in your life to which you need help. I would encourage you today to look toward heaven and ask God, if it is something to which would fall in line with the will of the Father, He wants you to ask. You have not because you ask not. Sometimes it's also you have not because you ask not, but because you ask unworthily. I don't know where your heart is today, but I know that God knows where your heart is today. Don't let your heart leave here today being troubled. Let your heart leave here today uplifted, encouraged. But most importantly, if you are in a season of mourning, may you leave here today comforted, knowing that God has got it. God's going to be able to take care of that situation. God can handle that problem. God can handle the spiritual things that are besetting you in life. God can do those things for you. All you must do is ask. During this invitation today, I don't know how He's speaking to you. like I already said, but I believe He is speaking to you one way or another. Maybe you do need to ask God today for some help. You've tried it long enough on your own. Now it's time to ask God for help. But in order to ask God for help, you must understand that He is the only one who can really help you. He's the only one that can really get you through this. He's the only one that can give you tomorrow. He's the only reason you have today. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this message today has pricked your heart to where you need to know Jesus today. Come forward during this invitation. I'd love to show you from God's Word. There's other people in here I can direct you to if you're more comfortable talking with someone else. I can direct you to someone else who can show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord. Maybe there's a decision you need to make today for the Lord. Don't wait. Take care of it today. As we have this invitation, will you please?